ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवद गीता चैप्टर 4 ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज टेक्स्ट 15 पेज 214। प्लीज गो टू पेज 214 और टेक्स्ट 415 ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज इज चैप्टर नेम 15 इज द श्लोका टेक्स्ट सो प्लीज रिपीट विथ मी 3 टाइम्स। एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतं कर्म पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात्त्वं पूर्वैः पूर्वातरं कृतम्। एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतं कर्म पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात्त्वं पूर्वैः पूर्वातरं कृतम्। एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतं कर्म पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात्त्वं पूर्वैः पूर्वातरं कृतम्। Anybody wants to chant? Evam jnatva krutam karma purveirapi mumukshubhihi kuru karmaiva tasmatvam purvehi purvataram krutam। एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतं कर्म पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात्त्वं पूर्वैः पूर्वातरं कृतम्। लेडीस्। एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतं कर्म पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात्त्वं पूर्वैः पूर्वातरं कृतम्। एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतं कर्म पूर्वैरपि मुमुक्षुभिः कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात्त्वं पूर्वैः पूर्वातरं कृतम्। एवं दस ज्ञात्वा नोइंग वेल कृतम् वाज परफॉर्म्ड कर्म वर्क पूर्वैः बाय पास्ट अथॉरिटीज अपि इंडीड मुमुक्षुभिः हु अटेन लिबरेशन कुरु just perform karma prescribed duty eva suddenly tasmat therefore tam you purvehi by the predecessors purvataram in ancient times krutam as performed। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. Purport. There are two classes of men. Some of them are full of polluted material things within their hearts and some of them are materially free. Krishna consciousness is equally beneficial for both of these persons. Those who are full of dirty things can take to the line of Krishna consciousness for a gradual cleansing process, following the regulative principles of devotional service. Those who are already cleansed of the impurities may continue to act in the same Krishna consciousness so that others may follow their exemplary activities and thereby be benefited. Foolish persons or neophytes in Krishna consciousness often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna's desire to retire from activities on the battlefield was not approved by the Lord. One need only know how to act. To retire from the activities of Krishna consciousness and to sit aloof making a show of Krishna consciousness is less important than actually engaging in the field of activities for the sake of Krishna. Arjuna is here advised to act in Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the Lord's previous disciples, such as the sun god Vibhaswan, as mentioned herein before. The Supreme Lord knows all his past activities, as well as those of persons who acted in Krishna consciousness in the past. Therefore, he recommends the acts of the sun god who learned this art from the Lord some millions of years before. All such students of Lord Krishna are mentioned here as past liberated persons engaged in the discharge of duties allotted by Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yenai Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaham Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamahim Dadatissa Padantikam Vandyam Sri Guru Srita Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sasri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Raghunath Nitam Tam Sajivam Sadhvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakha Nitam Sha. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपीक कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यस्य कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते गोपालकृष्णगोस्वामिनिति नामिने श्रीलप्रभुपादस्य साहित्यनेन प्रकाशवितरणप्रचारं कृत्वान् साधु भगवत्पदायते नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतरिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. सो वेलकम टू आवर इस्कॉन टेम्पल. हरे कृष्ण. थैंक यू फॉर कमिंग संडे फिस्ट लव फिस्ट प्रोग्राम इन ISB. सो माय नेम इज बलिवर्धन दास and I am a member of ISB temple. By the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan and Sri Van Mahaprabhu and Rakshit Prabhu requested, thank you for giving me a chance, allowing me to give some Gita realizations today. So we are talking about the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 15. Evam gyatva krutam karma purveir api mumukshuvihi kuru karmeva tasmattam purvei purvataram kritam. So this is the sloka, which is not that specifically or prominently mentioned in many places, or neither it is such an important, Prabhupada never quoted of this sloka, but I thought of, you know, just talking about the essence of this sloka, which I got is purveir purvataram kritam, means how in many slokas in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is trying to emphasize to all the living beings, to Arjuna, that not only is it I am telling the science, he has given many correlations that purbei kritam means how Vibhaswan, he got this knowledge, how his son Ikshvaku and, sorry, Manu and his son Ikshvaku, they got this knowledge and they got benefit. Then he was telling also, not only that, he was saying all the liberated souls in ancient times. He is trying to emphasize Arjuna that not only the Brahmanas, Vivaswan is also Kshatriya. Because he is a sun god, he is a kingdom of sun, planet, he is ruling, so he is a Kshatriya. So Ikshvaku is also Kshatriya and Manu is also Kshatriya in terms of their religious occupational duties. And he was saying that I gave this knowledge to them. I gave this knowledge. Then also in many places, he was trying to refer all the ancients, liberated souls. Sometimes Prabhupada mentioned that when Bhishma was lying on the bed in the Sarasajya, there are many great rishis. Many great rishis, they came and they were trying to, you know, give their homage to Bhishmadev because he is also one of the Mahajan. And when they came, it was mentioned about likely many rishis like Atri, Indra Pramada, then you have Kashyap Rishi, then Vasishtha, the many other rishis' names likely mentioned in the Bhagavatam that they came and they gave their salute. In all the rishis when they are there, also Lord Krishna didn't play a role to speak about the transcendental knowledge in that battlefield when Yudhishthir Maharaj asking about the true religion, about the duty of a king, about many other things he asked. So he was trying to give many examples. But Krishna advised that Bhishma is the right person to acquire the knowledge. So in the ripened time, it is not that he is taking advantage of all the places. And in many instances, Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, if you read perfectly, he will say, this is my opinion. He will not say that this is the way I tell and it has to be accepted. Just that is the way of gentleness. Just see Krishna's, how modest behavior he is. He is a friend, he is a spiritual master at the time he is acting and he can control everybody in this world, both in the Yogamaya or Mahamaya, to a living being, to all the beings. But out of his humbleness, he will say, Arjuna, that I have given this knowledge to you, it is up to you how you follow. Neither he enforces. This language is such a poetic, such a modest and highly decorative languages Krishna has given, but not a jugglery words. He is giving the essential truth. But if you really examine each word of Krishna, he is trying, so people say it's a dogma or, you know, it's just an enforcement that devotional service of Krishna is the supreme. Then in many instances you will see that the Bhagavad Gita, the language is so perfect. Because in this one, Krishna is saying, this Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter, beginning of this sloka, it is saying that Imam Vivasthate Egam, means he is saying that the Vivaswan, I gave this knowledge. Second sloka saying, Evam parampara praptam imam rajasya vidu, sa kalena mahata yoganashta parantapa. Sa evayam mayatidya yoga prakta puratana, bhakto sime sakha chayati, rahasyami itaduttamam. 1, 2, 3. So in the third sloka he is saying that this is the knowledge I am giving to you because you are my sakha. That's why this rahasya is I am opening to you. And this Bhagavad Gita is really meant for only the devotees, only those who are non-envious to Krishna, non-envious to God. That is the one they can understand the depth of the meaning. Otherwise, the asuras will interpret on their own way, which is diverting the whole principles. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I was reading, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami giving an example that Jarasandha was such a great Kshatriya. He was true to the Brahmanas. He was true to his principles. And he has many good qualities as mentioned in the Vedas. He is a follower of Vedas. He is a Vedantist also, you can say. But he denies the existence or supremacy of Krishna. That's what he has considered in the name of demons. Similarly, Ravana. He was also a very learned person. Extremely learned in all the Vedas, all the mantras. How to perform, whom to perform, what to get. Every details. Because they learned from their father Pulastya and from their Brahminical culture. But that doesn't mean that they are devotees, even though by acquiring the knowledge. So Krishna here mentioning, what is transcendental knowledge? In the third sloka he is saying that sakha. And two qualities. One is one should be friend towards me, and the second is he should be non-envious. The envious is when you understand the opulence of Krishna. In 8th chapter, 9th chapter, 10th chapter, Krishna is giving his opulence. That he is showing his thousands of heads, thousands of eyes, and he is saying that whole the universal form. Then after that, Arjuna wants to see the Narayan form, then Krishna's 200 form, all the opulences. The personalities, the impersonalities, they are envious of Krishna personality, which has been described in every sloka, but same Bhagavad Gita they take it. I don't know how the people are so fools. They get the impersonalist idea, which is, even though a child can understand in each sloka how clearly Krishna is mentioning, it is their misfortune. Within their heart, Krishna comes and he gives this understanding. Just like whenever we see that the destiny has more value or not, in the instance, all the ancient sages, which I am talking about, that sun god. So why Krishna is giving an example of Bivaswan is when there is a great rishi, you know, Jamadagni, he is the father of Parshuram. So before the Jamadagni was trying to playing arrows, even though Brahmins they teach but they don't act, but they know all the weapons, how to use it and how to execute it. So he was playing the arrows and his wife is Renuka, she's a daughter of a great king. She was going and picking the arrows to bring it back. So during the time, there was some one time, it was a sun, you know, mid, like noon time, so it is too much of sunlight and scorching heat. So, and she's a daughter of a king. So she was going, but not to, you know, offend her husband and not to delay in bringing this one. So in momentarily, she takes rest in the tree and then she brings it back to her husband. So after that event, everything happened. Jamadagni asked that, what is the cause you are a little bit delayed in getting the arrow? What happened to you? Then she showed her feet that, because of the scorching heat, I am not able to go and get your things and I have to take rest momentarily and then bring it back, the arrows, to you. Then Jamadagni was so angry with the sun god. He said, there, this moment with this same arrow, I will devastate the sun god. But don't think it is a joke. The Brahman has more power. The Brahmarshi has more power than the sun god. They can devastate if they like. The ocean of the salt is salty because of the course of a Brahman. So similarly, don't think the Brahminical power has no value. It has no value in this Kali Yuga because there is no such Brahmans. But these are all Maharishis. They are all great rishis. Jamadagni or any rishis you can take, Vishwamitra, Vasishtha, all. They have the qualities. They can devour the whole world if they like. So he wanted to pierce the arrows to the Vivaswan. And at the moment, sun god was very much afraid and trembled because he knows that he will be gone by the rishi's course or rishi's arrow. So he came as a brahmana and he was trying to persuade that why you are doing, sun is giving you heat, light, this, that. He wanted to, you know, give one side of analysis that what is the benefit of sunlight, and if you are trying to disturb him, the whole humanity will be disturbed like that. And then he gave the two principles. Okay, now tell me that how my wife got likely hit and how these some living beings will be, they will be out of this scorching heat. Then he gave the formula of umbrella and shoes. That's what nowadays, not only in the Indian tradition, they donate umbrella and shoes, those who are worshipping sun god, or it becomes a tradition. So my point of saying is that, what about all the celebrated living beings that have done something, that becomes the tradition in the modern age, or that becomes the tradition in the Vedic ages. So from that time, it becomes a customary. So whenever we perform some act, likely the sanskars, or you can take many of the acts which is mentioned, as per this one, we give a scriptural reference that because it had been done, or even if we do not know, if some great personality has done, then we can give a reference that such and such sage or such a person has done, like that. So similarly, so with that consideration of Jamadagni, how they interact with sun god and how this one tradition came. So in this verse, so another example, another instance of the great rishis, the seven rishis. So you know seven rishis, any two rishis name? Vasishtha, Atri, Vishwamitra, Bharadwaj. Okay, so seven rishis. So the seven rishis, there was one time a big drought for 12 years, and seven rishis has to also go for the drought because they did not get food, neither they get collected it. So at the time they were carrying son of Sibi. You know, Maharaj Sibi, you know, he's a great Kshatriya, and his name has been celebrated in many of the Vedic literature, Maharaj Sibi. So he has donated his son to the seven rishi, and they are carrying it. But out of hunger, they are trying to kill his son to get the cook food. So in that instance, when going through all the things, the rishi were trying to persuade him not to kill a human being, rather than you can fill your thirst by collecting something, but still they are not able to get anything. But as a whole, when they are trying to go and get another rishi, like Orba rishi, he is not Saptarshi, he joined and he informed that you can go to the lake and collect the lotus stack and then you can eat that. So the seven rishis, the Saptarshi, they went inside lake, they collected the lotus stack and they come. And again they wanted to go and collect it. By that time when they return, the lotus stem is not there. So out of the seven rishis, he was so angry, somebody might have stolen it. So they said that give a course that who has stolen, he will have something. So everybody started giving the course. Somebody say, who will sleep without clothes or baths without clothes, then that kind of sin he will get it. Generally in bathing and sleeping, one should not do naked. And then another person say, who does urinate in facing to the sun, he will have these sinful activities. So the sun god, sometimes we understand that the ancient traditions, how that facing towards the sun, one should not pass urine or urinate or doing like that. But now we are closed room or nothing like that. In modern days or in forest, people generally go in outside or they do it like that. But facing to the sun means it is a sin. So primarily they are saying the Saptarshi, what is the greatest sin like that? So all the traditions, their behavior, their exemplary things, which has been mentioned in the modern days, in the ancient days, which Krishna is telling to Arjuna, that how you can get an exemplary behavior from different greatest personalities, and how they will be benefited. So here it is saying that, let me read the translation again. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental knowledge, nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. In relations to that, Maharaj Yudhishthir, when you were reading yesterday Bhagavatam class with Akronath Prabhuji, that there are beautiful slokas which came, that when Maharaj Yudhishthir, he was celebrating his son's, Parikshit Maharaj, birth, Jataka Karma, at the time of name-giving ceremony, he was giving charity to the Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas are giving many blessings. Oh, this son will be exactly in his behavior like Bharat. This son will be exactly like charity to Sibi Maharaj. This son will be exactly like Lord Ramachandra, his behavior. And they are giving all the examples of great personalities. Because by connecting, because they can see, they can forecast, the Brahmins, they can forecast that such a pure devotee has appeared in the Pandav family. So he was saying, the Maharaj Sibi, there are two instances. One instance I mentioned to you already, and there are one more instance. It is better to hear the glory of Maharaj Sibi. Maharaj Sibi was tested by Indra and Agni. So one time Indra and Agni, they came as a hunter and pigeon, and they were chasing, the hunter is chasing to the pigeon, and they came to the arena of Maharaj Sibi. So when they came to the Maharaj Sibi, the pigeon go alongside as is taking shelter with Maharaj Sibi. And Maharaj Sibi gave protection, shelter, and the hunter came and he was chasing that. That is my food. Give it to me. Because he has taken the shelter of Maharaj Sibi, he said, no, I cannot give you. Ask me what I can. Okay, give me equal amount of flesh from your body. So they bought a nikti and then put some amount of flesh from his thigh, Maharaj Sibi. He caught it and put it, but it is not weighing. He caught it, put it many places, it is not coming. Finally, he said that he is dejected and he said himself, eat me now, because it is not equal. Then they reappeared as King Indra and King Agni, and they blessed Maharaj Sibi that you are such a fortunate, that your charitable dispositions will be glorified in all the three worlds. So that's a Maharaj Sibi. During the time of birth of Maharaj Parikshit, they are talking to Maharaj Yudhishthir, all the Brahmanas. So this is the glorious activities of Maharaj Sibi. And second instance, as Maharaj Sivi, is also when Sivi was a friend of Yazati, and there are other four kings, they are like brothers, and Narad Muni appeared there, and they are talking about the discourses. So generally you ask, right, when great personalities, then you ask, oh, when can I get some pure love of Godhead? Or when can I get the mercy of God? We generally ask, suppose you see a pure devotee, we ask that I am not developing, kindly bestow me something so that I can also have some side glance from Lord Krishna or getting some mercy from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We generally ask. So similarly, when they are meeting with Narad Muni, they also ask that who will, basically it is a question that who will descend to earth from the heavenly planet out of us? Or sometimes, you know, jokingly we say that who will fall down first? Like that. If you are a devotee having many years, that who will fall down? It's not a good question, but they are like talking like that. So in that sense, Narad Muni said, first person said, this guy will fall down. I forgot his name, the king. He said, why? He was giving an example. He said that you are going to going in a chariot throughout his kingdom, and one time you saw a big land, and there are a lot of cows, grazing cows on the side, and you talk to your friends, hey, this much cow, I gave donation, I gave charity, I mean dan. Whatever you have given charity, if you think also after that I have given it, all your values is gone. Do you follow me? You cannot say that I come here, oh, I donated this painting to ISKCON temple or something like that. Those relations, it should be in a humble way. It's not that somebody asks, you cannot say, but not in that mood. That mood has been noted. And Narad Muni said, because you have that belongingness in your mind, even though it was donated, neither you wanted to possess it, but you still identify what has been donated, the cows, to whomever it has been. Once the donated, that's it. You don't have any relationship. You don't have any, it cut off. Not out of, you know, arrogance or out of this one, but modesty, it is a separate thing which has to be understood in that way. So Narad Muni said that you will fall down. Second guy, they said that now you will fall down. The second guy said, he said, why? Then he was saying that when you are going in a path, in a chariot, that there was a road, a small road, which can go only one chariot. So you are going, another side also, another king was coming. Both are there. But you protested that I came first, I have to go. And that the king said that also there was a fight. And then finally, you have to go. And because that king was a superior king, his characteristics and his, you know, his disposition was very superior than you. But you demanded to go first rather than you should submit to him. That's why you will fall down. Just see these are all behavioral psychology. How and when these guys exhibit. So he said, just like if you are in freeway one lane, now in modern days, me first, right? I don't care, me first or bang your car. Or somebody is very reckless, then he will even bump your backside and run away or something like that. So angry people are, even small thing agitation, they'll be agitated. But this examining of the psychology of this age where people are, how their behavior is, celebrated souls. So he was saying that you will fall down because even though you did not agitate and that king was modest and he gave you the way, but it is your duty. Suppose three persons are there. If you are eating or drinking, then generally if superior devotee, Vaisheshika Prabhuji come, it's a responsibility to give away even though you are on the front. Just like it is the responsibility of a junior devotee or something to give away to somebody in somewhere in different places to give a seat. It is our mostly Vedic culture, Vedic system, which is not taught in the Western culture. But generally, practically, we don't need to teach in most of the Indian families, those who have come from, will be acquiring such simple behavior, but not in a higher extent. Then he said, Narad Muni said, then another guy, then he said that, now I will fall down. Then say that after I fall down, the last person will fall down is Maharaj Sivi. Narad Muni glorified better than himself. And Narad Muni gave the example that why I will fall down before Maharaj Sivi is because he gave this example. That Maharaj Sivi, one time he was ruling his kingdom, and similarly one demigod or somebody One Brahman came and he asked that, I'm hungry, I want food. He said, what kind of food you want? No, I just want food. Then he cooked something and he said, no, I don't want this food. I want meat. So, okay, I'll cook for something. What kind of meat? No, I want a human flesh, your son. Then Sri Maharaj Sivi killed his son and he cooked. He cooked for the Brahmins, to satisfy the Brahmin. Because they don't want to disturb the Brahmin. So Maharaj Sivi cooked for the food and they gave the food. He cooked the one and cooking while coming, the Brahmin was not there. The Maharaj Sivi was not disturbed. Then he took the food and he was searching for Maharaj Sivi. That Brahmin, Maharaj Sivi was going. He did not find. Then somebody said that there was a fire somewhere else. There was fire going on, some Brahmin was angry or something. So Maharaj Sivi went to that place and he saw that Brahmin. And he was approaching that Brahmin. And the Brahmin didn't seem to appear to, as if he met him ever. Maharaj Sivi was asking, sir, I got your food for you. My son, I cooked him. What food? What did I say? If something happened to you, if you call someone dinner, 8 o'clock, it called 3 times. Are you coming? No, I didn't. Then next time you'll not call him again. You are not coming to my home. I called you. My wife cooked 4 times, 2 hours spent, 3 sabji made with so many chapatis, and you are not coming our home. Our tolerance level is that much. See, Maharaj Sivi. He was, when he said, oh, you cooked that one? I got somebody called me. I ate already. I'm full. Go away, give it to someone else. He was saying that Brahmin. Maharaj Sivi didn't complain to him. Neither a single agitation in his mind. The agitation is seen from the eyebrow, the anger. The lust is seen from your lips. So all these things, and an emotion is seen through your eyes. So all these things, when it is articulated, Maharaj Sivi was not even agitated a single percentage. And the Brahman was happy. The Brahman was testing him. And he bring it back his son. But the point is, the essential part is that how much the behavior, how much the celebrated souls has exemplified themselves, that's why they are glorious. The great things is not done by a great job. From the small incidents, a greatness is known. From the small incidents, by relationship, by interaction, by your behavior with the other devotees. That is known not by a great thing, but by a small incident, from the great person are revealed. So similarly, so the Brahmins' values and their the morality and everything, even Lord Krishna is saying that is to his family members, that there is only one person can decay you. Even I cannot protect you if you disrespect a Brahmin. That's why, you know, they're taking the pregnant persons, one person, they put the iron and the pregnant, they made it pregnant and say, what is there inside, sir? Is it a boy or a girl? Then he understand, the Brahmin understood that these guys are joking me. But now, neither I can forecast you, nor I have that qualities. Because the Om, when Prabhupada is saying that just by chanting this mantra Om, it is transcendental. Sometimes in our ISKCON also people don't think Om is impersonal. Om is personal. The Omkar sound is so transcendental. It is the same sound vibration. None other. It is not different than Lord Vishnu. The Mahavakya, you know, Mahavakya, when Shankaracharya made Mahavakyas, he impersonally say Mahavakya is Tat Tvam Asi. Those Hare Krishna also, those who are practicing, we should understand these 2 points. Om Tat Sat, Tat Tvam Asi. These 2 things we really need to understand very deeply, to argue with someone else in the philosophy. But just to know, first, the value of Om contains of 3 words. A-U-M. A-U-Ma. A-U-Ma, that mixes, and it brings Om. And that Om itself is so transcendental. Just like we are saying, Om Narayane Namaham, Om Vishnave Namaham, Om, whatever, say, Keshavaya Namaham, Om, Om, Om. So that Om, we say Om, that means that it is indirectly representing Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu. It is not different than God. Exactly in Bhagavad Gita 8.31, Krishna is saying that whoever chants Om at the time of death, he will attain me. non-different than me, because the Om word is non-different than Krishna. But sometimes we misunderstand. In most of the time I see ISKCON devotees also, no, we cannot chant Om, we just chant Hare Krishna. That's fine, Hare Krishna we chant always, but at the same time we should develop the respect that Om is also the same value as Lord Vishnu. Because the Om is, A is Lord Krishna, U is Radharani, Ma is living beings. It's a combination of Krishna, Radha and living beings, so it's a complete. That's why it is identical as Lord Vishnu, as Lord Krishna. There is no difference. So even though somebody is chanting Om Krishnaya, Om Govindaya Namam, so in all the mantras you can see Om as a representative, as a just like addressing the Supreme Lord. But it is personal. So that is, so Shankaracharya side they say Tattvamasi, means I am God, like they call, but you are the same spiritual being, not as a God. But in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not mention about Tattvamasi, he emphasized Om as a Mahavakya, then Tattvamasi. But anyway, it's a very detailed studies. So the primary point I wanted to say is that the ancient and referring the authorities which Krishna is mentioning, that liberated souls, giving an example and following their examples, following their footsteps, is very, very important. We have 12 Mahajan, like Bhishma is Mahajan, Kapila is Mahajan, and Yamraj is Mahajan, and many other Mahajans. So in Yamraj case, so the same Maharaj CB, he is now member of parliament of Maharaj Yamraj. So he is acting as a, in that assembly of Maharaj Yamraj for now also, Maharaj CB is there, acting as a member of parliament. He is a pure devotee. Only it is, don't think that Yamraj means all demons are there. They are all controllers, are devotees of the Lord. They are the pure devotees of the Lord. They are controlling there. So same, the rishis, how they are, you know, words and how they are, because of their exemplary acts, just like there is a rishi called Nachiketa. You know, Nachiketa is a one great personality in the ancient history. And when Nachiketa wants to, he was serving his father, and his father said that, go collect, I forgot my kamandalu, my lota and my achman patra, go collect it. And by that time the river took it away. So Nachiketa came and said to his father that, no, everything is gone. There is, it is not gone. So his father was very angry. May you meet the Lord of Death today. Then after that he was repentant. Oh my God, what course I gave to my own son. And the same Nachiketa, when he was trying, then he saw the Nachiketa body is fading and he's gone. But same Nachiketa, when he met Yamraj and he was examining, Yamraj was very happy to meet Nachiketa, and he was asking, what is the meaning of death? Small boy. And he was talking about, discoursing about the realization of the absolute truth. What is Sambandha Gyan? What is Avideya Gyan? What is Prayojan Gyan? Then after some times, Nachiketa reappeared and his father was very surprised. Then Nachiketa told, yeah, Yamraj told me that your father curses you because I cannot nullify a Brahmana's word. A pure Brahmana's word will never be nullified by a demigod also. Make it a note. If Prabhupada says somebody to someone else, that is going to happen, even though, you know, it is impossible to us, because it's pure Vaishnava. So just see the value of a Brahmana we have to understand. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was invited to give a discourse one time on Vaishnava, he gave whole 90% of time about the importance, significance and the value of a Brahmanas. Then all Vaishnavas are looking, what is he talking about? Because at the time in the assembly, they are thinking that Brahman and Vaishnavas are different. But they, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj giving such a high level discourse to the assembly, they are very surprised, and because they don't understand. Sometimes we worship Lord Ram or Narsingadev. Some people, oh, ISKCON you guys do Krishna only, right? They don't understand the Krishna's expansion is also the same value, because they do not have, maybe either don't understanding, or they wanted to pay a political, you know, message they wanted to give. So whatever it is, so these people, when Nachiketa came back and he was asking, then he said that, because Yamraj wants to give your word, and he said your word is, may you meet Lord of Death today. That doesn't mean that you meet me, but he came back again. Right? So that's what you died also, he came back again. So that's why Lord of Death, Yamaraj, gave this power to Nachiketa to come back and reappear in front of his father. So you can examine, you can go ahead with one, two, any single details to many devotees or ancient celebrated souls, you will find more amusement. So I just wanted to take some questions from anyone or any liberated souls whom you are thinking of describing, if you have in your mind or if you follow or many people, any ancient liberated souls which you know, you are most welcome to. Or if you have any questions, I will open up. We have a microphone, Rakshit Prabhuji. Please don't be shy. Yeah, backside somebody. Oh, we have already. One for Mataji, one for Prabhuji. Anyone wants to take the courage? No, you don't know any celebrated, liberated souls which Krishna is referring? Not to one? Ramananda Sakha Prabhuji? Any liberated souls which is Krishna is referring? Just imagine 5,000 years ago, he's just definitely he's referring to Vivaswan here, but still he is saying it is a plural. He is saying evam gyatva krutam karma purveir api mumukshuvi, means kuru karmaiva tasmattam purveir purvataram krutam. Liberated souls, it is said in the translation. Tell something.
I just think of Narad Muni and others, they are all liberated souls. But are you referring to any? I mean, I'm not clearly, I didn't clearly get your question.
Let me tell you. Just here, in this fourth chapter, Krishna started with giving, first thing he is that I gave this knowledge to Sun God, then Ikshvaku, then Manu, then Ikshvaku, then he's saying that how parampara is restored, and then he talked about who should be getting this one, then he was talking about all these things. So here he's mentioning about that you get a reference from all the liberated souls. So whom he was thinking of, Krishna is thinking in his mind, so Arjuna should really follow their footsteps. Prabhupada in purport in many places he mentioned about Sun God and Ikshvaku and Manu. So if you have any guess you wanted to do, any liberated soul at 5,000 years ago in Krishna's time, or before that time, which Arjuna should follow their footsteps.
Bhishmadev is there.
Bhishmadev is there, sure. But he might not be referring Bhishmadev because he was on the other side.
Yes, yes.
But definitely he can be one. His father also.
Pandura. Okay.
Yeah. Vyasadeva also. Mm-hmm. And his father. Vichitra Birja, mm-hmm. And of course Bharat,
yes.
King Bharat, right?
Yeah,
King Bharat,
yes.
Which is, there are three Bharats. One is Lord Ram's brother, another is Dushmanta's son, and another is Rishabdev's son. Anything, anybody wants to share? Any questions?
What about Lord Kapila?
Lord Kapila? Yeah. So, in one of the lecture I was listening from one of, one Swami's, he was mentioning about all the liberated soul he was trying to bring, because he was trying to induce Arjuna, so he was trying to refer to some Kshatriya liberated souls. You know, it should be very appropriate. Just like he was giving Sun God, Ikshvaku, Manu, they are very celebrated Kshatriyas. Means they perform war, they did not retire from their current life, or they go to the jungle or something like that, rather than they exhibited some quality like Maharaj Sibi, Maharaj Nahusha, and King Bharat, Dushmanta, like those personalities which is, mentioned to induce him that the transcendental knowledge is not necessarily to the Brahmanas, but to extend it to the Kshatriya's part also. Lord Ramchandra like that. Because in the following slokas, he was talking about more what is action, what is inaction. Then he was saying that those persons who sees action in inaction and inaction in action is more intelligent. And he was giving the three different that prescribed duties, vikarma and akarma, in the three one. And then he was talking about the transcendental knowledge, that which is by worshipping demigods, people get the results, and by worshipping me, then you get the higher results. So the less intelligent men, how they are attached to the fruitive work. Irrespective of, you get the transcendental knowledge, but you fixed in your karma, which is to satisfy me, is to fight the war. In essentially every point, Krishna wants to prove that part, that you are not supposed to go in retirement. So in all the example in reference, he is trying to bring that point to Arjuna in many of the instances. In fourth chapter, in transcendental knowledge, he tried to bring sun gods, even though he has given some, you know, when Krishna went to where he has a first son with Rukmini, then what is his name? Jambavati. Jambavati was envious, and she complained to Krishna that you gave birth to Rukmini, I think Pradyumna, his son, and what about me? But before Krishna procreated, and he gone for austerities to Himalayas. Gone for austerities to Himalayas for many years he did, and then by the time, you know, Parvati and Lord Shiva came, and Parvati was happy, and Krishna was, he's himself God, but to still, as long as he was there in this planet, he does all the activities also. He's doing austerities in the Himalayas, and then Parvati came, and she was very happy to see Krishna themselves, and then they were giving blessings that, oh, you have many wives and many sons. And after that, Krishna win 16,000 wives, which is with the Narakasura, or the Bhomasura. He got it. So in that time, he will not give an example that now you go 12 years to forest, then after that you come back. That is not appropriate. So it has to be very referential, and the point when Krishna wants to do something, and he was inducing Arjuna to fight and fight in the battlefield. So our example should be very appropriate at the time when he wanted to give something, you know, any particular message. That message has to be corroborated with the right kind of examples and right kind of ancient histories, which is in point. The two things what I wanted to give message, that one is, as long as Krishna is also very soft-hearted, gentle, he's giving his message, he's saying always, this is my opinion, which I think should be not likely enforcing. Second message, he always refers to authorities and liberated souls. Because so similarly in our examples also, whenever we do any significant activities, we really need to cross-check or cross-verify with an exemplary activities of a great personalities, and then we should be certain on our approach. Questions?
So here it is saying that these liberated souls acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. And in the purport it says several times they acted in Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Can you elaborate what type of action that is? That is, in actual terms of action, what is it that they did or were doing?
Okay. So Prabhuji's question is that with that act of understanding, they acted. So what is their understanding and how, what their action is? So here you can take an example of, the best example will be Bibhaswan. Okay. So what action he did and how he performed. So it was not elaborately mentioned in the in this context what Bibhaswan did, but it was given an example of what Manu did and what Ikshvaku did. Ikshvaku is again the son of Manu, and then they did it. So in many instances, it is said, Manu compiled a Samhita called Manu Samhita. And in Manu Samhita, he said that transcendental understanding is that one understand, let's say 100% about, nobody knows Krishna 100%, but one understand that, then he compiled for all the varieties of people. So depends on if he is a leader. King is the leader, general leader for the society. So not necessarily they understand, they must understand the psychology of the common man and they act accordingly to transpire this knowledge. So similarly, when Krishna is saying that for you, Arjuna, you understand transcendental nature, that you are going to fight for me. You are going to fight for me. In that understanding, if you act, then your action will be pure. But here all these celebrated souls like Manu, Ikshvaku, Sangar, they are acting under me. In Brahma Samhita it is said, out of fear the sun god is moving around the entire planetary systems. And they are not bypassing any rules or transgressing any rules or like that. So in that sense I can say that their true understanding is Krishna consciousness. They understand who God is, what their nature is, this is Shyam Sundar or Narayan, what form is. And they are, based on their occupational duties, they are performing. Suppose somebody is a leader, he has to perform. Somebody has a, in a Brahminical society, he has to give knowledge. In that mood, Krishna is, in this context, is measuring about more Kshatriya, more likely Kshatriya, and as a leader, as a fighter, the leader in the society, and how their actions are. Leaders in their actions are courageous, winning the battle, fighting against the enemy, chasing around them, and then not in the spirit of defeating them, but in the spirit of satisfying God for the protection of their citizens. In that understanding is Krishna consciousness. Makes sense? Anybody wants to add some comments? From Mataji, anyone have any questions? It looks so silent. I didn't talk any big philosophy, right? Anyone wants to share? To talk about any liberated souls which Krishna is talking to Arjuna, which he can get reference or examples. Any liberated souls who are a Rajarshi? Do you know anyone? There are thousands of names. Tell one name. Sukadeva Goswami Prabhuji is saying. Yes.
Prabhuji, I have one question.
Yes.
Means liberated souls, first is what is different between Brahmanas and Vaishnavas? Means how Vaishnavas, I hear that Vaishnavas are superior to Brahmanas. And second thing, how devotional service is liberated souls, but I hear one story for Rupa Goswami or somebody liberation was at the doorstep, but he still was telling I don't have time, I'm busy in worshipping Krishna. So how liberation is, devotional service is higher than liberation.
Yeah, okay. So Prabhuji is bringing the technical terms that devotional service is higher than liberation or not. Yeah, that's fine, but in this context, Krishna is, let's see in this one, koti karme madhye eko jnani shrestha, koti jnani madhye eko mukta shrestha, koti mukta madhye eko bhakta, Krishna bhakta durlabha. That means we have many karmis. Out of millions of karmis, we get only one jnani who is better than millions of karmis. Out of millions of jnanis, one mukta means one liberated person who is better than that. But out of millions of liberated person, one devotee is better than that. But in this context, Krishna is not giving comparison on who is a jnani or who is... He is basically saying the liberated souls, which can be comprised of all classes. It may be devotee, it may be the liberated soul who has known about the Brahman, it may be all the classes of Brahmins. Those Brahmins who have acquired the Brahminical knowledge, they are also in this category, because their value of Brahminical knowledge also is respected. But to your point, what is the difference between a Brahmin and Vaishnava, and what is the difference which Rupa Goswami is mentioning about the liberations which is at the doorstep, which is the separate step when we understand what is the ultimate goal of life, what is our prayojan. In that stage you can say the love of Godhead is the prayojan. But in this context of understanding of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is mentioning about liberated souls, mean all classes of. But when you further study, there's the one further study about the difference between this Mukta or this Brahmin or this Vaishnava or this category of Vaishnava, Radha Krishna worship or Lakshmi Narayan worship. This is a higher study where we analyze all the things. But primarily, for a goal of a Vaishnava is separate and satisfying Krishna, irrespective of is a Mukta or a Kshatriya. Make sense?
So Krishna Dharma Prabhuji, are you offering or we are ready for Aarti or what is it? We are offering, so we can continue for some time. Okay. So Aarti will be maybe after 10-15 minutes. So by the time we have any discussion, we can continue. Anyone? Otherwise, I will chant some Chaitanya Charitamrita if you like 10-15 minutes. Okay. So okay, can I read 15 or 20 sloka of this one? Is it okay? Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami ki jai. I will read the Bengali and then translation, okay? Bande Chaitanya Devam tam Bhagavantam yadichaya prasabham narte chitram lekharange jado api ayam. I offer my respect to the Supreme Personality Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose desire I have become like a dancing dog, and although I am a fool, I have suddenly taken to the writing of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Ghora Chandra, Jaya Jaya Paramananda, Jaya Nityananda. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Ghora Sundar. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto Nityananda Prabhu, who is always very joyful. Jaya Jaya Dvaita Acharya Kripamaya, Jaya Jaya Gadadhara Pandita Mahasaya. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Advaita Acharya, who is very merciful, and also to that great personality, Gadadhara Pandit, the learned scholar. Jaya Jaya Srivasadi Yata Bhakta Gana Pranata Haya Bando Savara Charana. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Srivas Thakur and all of the devotees of the Lord. I fall down to offer them respect. I worship their lotus feet. Muka kavitva kare yana savara smarane pangugiri langhe andha dekhe taragane. By remembering the lotus feet of the Panchatattva, a dumb man can become a poet, a lame man can cross mountains, and a blind man can see the stars in the sky. E sava namane pandita sakala tasavar vidya patha bheka kulahala. The education cultivated by so-called learned scholars who do not believe the statements of Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the tumultuous croaking of frogs. Ei sava namane eve kare krishna bhakti krishna kripa nahi tare nahi tara gati. One does not accept the glories of the panchatattva but still makes a show of devotional service to Krishna can never achieve the mercy of Krishna nor advance to the ultimate goal. Purbe yaiche jarasandha adi rajagana veda dharma kari kare vishnura pujana. Formerly, kings like Jarasandha, the father-in-law of Kansa, strictly followed the Vedic rituals, thus worshipping Lord Vishnu. Krishna nahi mane tate ditya kari mani, daitya kari mani, chaitanya na mani le taiche daitya tare jani. One who does not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality Godhead is suddenly a demon. Can you repeat with me? One who does not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is suddenly a demon. Similarly, anyone who does not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, the same Supreme Lord, is also to be considered a demon. So we know who demons are. So very simple, okay? Morana manile sabay loka have naso ithalagi kripadra prahu karila sanyasa. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that unless people accepted him, they would all be destroyed. Thus the merciful Lord accepted the sannyas order. Sannyasi buddhe mora karive namaskara tathapi khandive dukkha paive nistara. If a person offers obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, even due to accepting him only as an ordinary sannyasi, his material distresses will diminish and he will ultimately get liberation. Yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srajamyaham. Hena kripamaya chaitanya na bhaje jana sarvottamahalayo tare asura ganana. One who does not show respect unto the merciful Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or does not worship him should be considered a demon, even if he is very exalted in human society. Let's repeat with me. One who does not show respect unto this merciful Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or does not worship him should be considered a demon, even if he is very exalted in human society. So we know who demons are now. It's very good.
Ateva puna kaho urdhavahuhana chaitanya nityananda bhaje kutapka chadya.
Therefore I say again, lifting my arms, O fellow human beings, please worship Sri Chaitanya Nityananda without false arguments. Say, Jai Sri Chaitanya! Jai Sri Nityananda! Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya! Jai Jai Sri Nityananda! Bole Gurachandra!
Yadi ba tarkika kahe tarka se pramana tarka sastri siddhai se sebhyamana.
Logicians say, unless one gains understanding through logic and argument, how can one decide upon a worshipable deity? That's correct, right?
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karaha Vichara Vichara Karele Chitte Pave Chamatkara.
If you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful.
Bahu Janma Kare Yadi Sravana Kirtana Tavutana Paye Krishna Pade Premadhana.
If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many bars, he will not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of this chanting. Let's repeat with me. If one is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many bars, he will not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of this chanting.
Jnanata sulabhya muktir bhuktir yajnadi punyata seyam sadhana sahasrere hari bhakti sudurlava.
By cultivating philosophical knowledge, one can understand his spiritual position and thus be liberated. And by performing sacrifices and pious activities, one can achieve sense gratification in a higher planetary system. But the devotional service of the Lord is so rare that even by executing hundreds and thousands of such sacrifices, one cannot obtain it.
Krishna yadi chute bhakte bhukti mukti diya, kabhu prema bhakti na dan rakhena lukaya.
If a devotee wants material sense gratification or liberation from the Lord, Krishna immediately delivers it. But pure devotional service he keeps hidden. Is it good point for you?
Rajan Patri Guru Ralam Bhavatam Yadunam Daivam Priya Kulapati Kachi Kinkaroba Astaevam Anga Bhagavan Bhajata Mukundo Muktim Dadati Karihichit Smana Bhakti Yogam.
The great sage Narada said, my dear Maharaj Yudhishthir, the Supreme Personality Godhead Krishna is always ready to help you. He is your master, guru, God, very dear friend, and head of your family. Yet sometimes he agrees to act as your servant or ordered carrier. You are greatly fortunate because this relationship is only possible by bhakti yoga. The Lord gives liberation, mukti, very easily, but he does not give one bhakti yoga because by that process he is bound to the devotee. Let's read the last two sentences, okay? Can you chant with me? You are greatly fortunate because this relationship is only possible by bhakti yoga. The Lord can give liberation, mukti, very easily, but he does not give bhakti yoga. By that process, he is bound to the devotee.
Hina premo sri chaitanya dilayatha tatha jagai madhai paryanta anniraka katha.
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has freely given this love of Krishna everywhere and anywhere, even to the most fallen, such as jagai and madhai. What then to speak of those who are already pious and elevated?
Svatantra Ishvara Prema Nigura Bhandara Bilaila Yaratare Naka Ila Vichara.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Supreme Personality Godhead himself, is fully independent. Therefore, although he is the most confidentially stored benediction, he can distribute love of Godhead to anyone and everyone without consideration.
Adhyapya Dekha Chaitanya Namai Laya Krishna Prema Pulasuru Bihvallase Haya.
Whether he is offensive or inoffensive, anyone who even now chants Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda is immediately overwhelmed with ecstasy and tears fill his eyes.
Nityananda Balite Haya Krishna Premodaya Aulia Sakale Anga Astru Gangavaya.
Simply by talking of Nityananda Prabhu, one awakens his love for Krishna. Thus all his bodily limbs are agitated by ecstasy and tears flow from his eyes like the waters of the Ganges. Krishna nama kare aparadhira vichara, Krishna balila aparadhira nahaya vikara. There are offenses to be considered while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one does not become ecstatic. Can you repeat with me? There are offenses to be considered while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one does not become ecstatic. So, some of the people who earlier had questions, why we don't get ecstatic? So, you got it? So, because offenses. It is. I am not saying, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying. Yes.
But again, it says, may not be here, but maybe somewhere else, that when chanting the names of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Nityananda Prabhu, there are no offenses to be considered.
Yes.
Then we can put the same question. You know, if someone chants Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu or Nityananda Prabhu, why is he not become ecstatic?
Why is he not ecstatic?
Besides, despite chanting, because there are no offenses to be considered and he is chanting, but there is no ecstasy.
Yeah, Prabhuji is asking that why, when you chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, then you are not ecstatic even the offenses. So in this verse, it is mentioned that when somebody chants Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, then he is automatically ecstatic even though he is offensive or inoffensive or not offensive. But when he is chanting Hare Krishna, then your offenses are considered to be ecstatic or not. So in many of the purport, Prabhupada says that initially in the glimpse, Krishna gives this ecstatic mood. But not to continue your ecstatic mood for further, you need to be offenseless. When you chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, you may be anywhere else, you will get ecstatic mood. That you may not know it, but you will get joyful. Any doubt about that?
Okay, so that is my question. So, if one is chanting the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda Prabhu, and there is no ecstasy, what does it mean? I mean, that cannot happen. There should be ecstasy because he's chanting the names.
Yeah, Prabhuji's question is tricky. He was saying that if somebody is chanting and if he's not ecstatic, what is the meaning behind that he's not ecstatic, right? So then it may be many things. Either he's hiding his emotions or he may be a liberated soul. He's not showing his ecstasy or he may be too offensive, which Lord is not reciprocating.
There are no offenses to be considered. That's
no offenses. If chanting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name, no offenses. Because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Allahabad, Prakashananda Saraswati, he was debating, he even cannot utter the name of Krishna, but he uttered the name of Chaitanya. And by uttering the name of Chaitanya, all the sins are uttered, means cleared. So that is the verdict of the Shastra. So we should not examine based on that. Prabhuji chanting Sri Krishna, I don't see his ecstasy. We should not examine in that way. We should understand this message in our heart that it is said by acharyas and we should take it. I am giving an example. Haridas Thakur was giving, because neither I am a liberated soul nor I, maybe somebody, some of you, but I cannot even examine someone whether he is ecstatic or not. But Haridas Thakur, when he was giving this discourse in Bengal, he was telling that even some person chants the name which one word has ha and another third letter has re and it mixes, I will consider Hari and he will get liberation. So one person in the Brahmin, he complained and he was agitated. He was a big Vedantist. I studied Vedas so many years, I don't get that benefit, and you are saying that who chants just Hari and not even that word, is a big word or big sentence, he chants the Hari, he will get liberation. And he was chastised and complained. He said that whoever says that kind of word, may nose fall from his mouth. Such a irresponsible words he is saying, if there is no truth. And immediately his nose fell down from his mouth. Because he is complaining to Haridas Thakur. So we should not examine externally by this word that I see he chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he is not getting ecstatic. We should not examine that he is not dancing or even though he is smoking or something, we should not see the external behavior. We should take the scriptural evidence by the Mahajans as it is. We should honor that. Yes, they will get it. They will get it. If something we are not able to get it, it is our problem that we are not able to understand it. In that mood, we should learn it. Make sense? Any question further? because unless the offering is done, we cannot do aarti. That's why.
Tadasmasaram hridayam vatedam yadgrihamaner harinamadhe na vikriyathaya yadabhikaro netre jalam gatta ruhesu harsa. If one's heart does not change, tears do not flow from his eyes, his body does not shiver, nor his hair stand on end, as he chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it should be understood that his heart is as hard as iron. This is due to his offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name. Your answer is coming up. Did you follow? If one's heart does not change, let me read it. Tears do not flow from his eyes. His body does not shiver, nor his hair stand on end as he chants the Hare Krishna Mantra. It should be understood that his heart is as hard as iron. This is due to his offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name.
This one is saying about offenses against the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But my question was chanting the names of Chaitanya and Nityananda. So it's a little different.
Yeah, that maybe he will give the... Let's go through. And one thing is during the offering of the bhoga, we don't do aarti because Krishna is having his... taking the prasadam. Bhoga is taking. So it is a seva aparad. So we have to wait till he finishes.
Ega Krishna name kare sarva papa nasa premera karana bhakti karena prakasa. Simply chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra without offenses vanquishes all sinful activities. Thus pure devotional service, which is the cause of love of Godhead, becomes manifest.
Premera udaya haya premera vikara swadakamta pulakshadi gadgada suddhara.
When one's transcendental loving service to the Lord is actually awakened, it generates transformations in the body such as perspiration, trembling, throbbing of the heart, faltering of the voice and tears in his eyes.
Anayase bhavikshek sinerasyavana eka krishna namira phale payeta dhana.
As a result of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one makes such great advancement in spiritual life that simultaneously his material existence terminates and he receives love of Godhead. The holy name of Krishna is so powerful that by chanting even one name, one very easily achieves this transcendental riches. Now you are saying that we are chanting millions of names. Why we are not chanting this?
Hena Krishna nama yadi laya bahu vara, tavu yadi premanahe nahe asrudhara, tave jani aparadha tahate prachura, Krishna nama vijatahe nakare ankura.
If one chants the exalted holy name of the Lord again and again, and yet his love for the Supreme Lord does not develop, and tears do not appear in his eyes, it is evident that because of his offenses in chanting, the seed of the holy name of Krishna does not sprout.
Chaitanya nityande nahi esava vichara, namilaite premadana bahya srudhara.
He is saying that, but Chaitanya nityananda nam somebody is taking, there is no such things. Let me read the translation, then you can ask. But if one only chants with some slight faith, the holy names of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, very quickly he is cleansed of all offenses. Thus, as soon as he chants the Hare Krishna Mantra, he feels the ecstasy of love for God. Tell now.
This question is that when we chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, in the beginning we just say, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasudha Gaura Bhaktaranda. We just say once and we do the whole round. And we do the, repeat the same thing for every round. But by chanting the names of Chaitanya and Nityananda, if we can, if they do not take any offenses, why don't we, why haven't we actually recommended chanting the names of Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu also, at least for some time, you know, just supplement it. Because that seems to be an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
We are chanting 16 rounds anyway. Maybe just one round we just chant the names
of... there are people, I know the disciples of Jayapadak Maharaj, I know there are, they chant Shri Krishna Chaitanya one round. Sometimes I feel I chant also. If you are feeling very offensive that day, then you chant and get the mercy of Shri Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda. And I think it is, if you are thinking, you got that mood, then you can distribute this Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda. That's the one. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is distributing Hare Krishna Mantra and he is enforcing us to distribute. And it is our prerogative that if you want to distribute, that's fine. But finally they have to come to the stage of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is the one. But initially there is, yes, they can chant this mantra and get, you know, purified. Because if somebody chanting Hare Krishna but doesn't have respect for Chaitanya, then his Hare Krishna is also no value. Because you have to go through, receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then only you can go to Hare Krishna mantra. Like that. Yeah, please, please move forward.
Satantra Isra Prabhu Atyanta Udara Tanina Bhajile Kabhu Nahaya Nistara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the independent Supreme Personality Godhead, is greatly magnanimous. Unless one worships him, one can never be liberated. Ore Mudha Lokaye Suna Chaitanya Mangala Chaitanya Mahimayate Janive Sakala. Oh fools, just read Chaitanya Mangala. By reading this book, you can understand all the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrindavana Dasa Kaila Chaitanya Mangala Yahara Savane Nasi Sarva Mangala. Thakur Vrindavana Dasa has composed Chaitanya Mangala. Hearing this book will annihilate your misfortune. Krishna Nila Bhagavate Kahe Veda Vyasa Chaitanya Lila Vyasa Vrindavana Dasa. As Vyasadeva has compiled all the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Thakur Vrindavana Dasa has depicted the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Nitayarete Janiya Mahima Yate Jani Krishna Bhakti Siddhanti Rasima. By reading Chaitanya Mangala, one can understand all the glories of truths of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and come to the ultimate conclusion of devotional service to Lord Krishna.
Bolo Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Nityananda ki.